Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain old aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah.
Happy, 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 happy holidays, indeed. Happiest of all the holidays.
Well, that would be Halloween. We are.
Well, okay, fair enough. You got me on that one.
Yeah. But happy holidays, and we hope that everyone who did a Christmas or is doing a Christmas haunted house is having much success.
Much success. Happy winter holidays, maybe we should say.
All right. That sounds appropriate.
That does sound appropriate. Indeed, we are back. It is another Monday, time for another episode of Haunt Weekly, and we have a very special episode this week.
We do.
This one, as we will discuss in a minute, is one that Crystal took the lead on, and she deserves all the credit for the research and the work that went into this one, and all the blame, too, if it goes off the rails.
Right. Seems well, it already has.
mostly credit, okay?
Yeah.
But yes, we are discussing holiday demons and trying to find ways to Halloweenify your Christmas, if you will.
Right. So if you don't want to just do the regular old Krampus, because everybody knows him now. We've got some other choices for you, including speaking about him, too.
Yeah, we do discuss Krampus. Krampus is worth talking about.
He is.
But in this episode, we wanted to talk about some holiday demons to make your Christmas season bright. And by bright, I mean bloody.
Yeah.
But anyways, first things first, we, as always with these episodes, have conference reminders letting you know where the heck you should be in the coming year.
Yeah.
So it's my duty to start this time, as we discussed before the podcast. So on that note, everyone, this January 14th through 17th, it's the Halloween and Party Expo. Where? Right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. There's over 350 vendors in attendance. It does require business verification to attend, but you know what? It is stupid simple to get that. So why don't you do it at HalloweenPartyExpo.com. It takes all of 2 minutes of your time, and then you can hang out in New Orleans and possibly meet us.
Yes.
Seriously, if you are coming to this conference or just going to otherwise be in New Orleans, let us know.
We would love to see you.
We are on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. We're on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Drop us a message, a comment, a tag, whatever the cool kids are doing these days. And let us know that you will be in town. We will try to arrange an opportunity to meet up.
Yeah. All right. So then after that, January 17th, 20th, if you're done with New Orleans, you can head over to Hawaii.
Yeah, that's if you don't want to go back to somewhere where it's cold, right?
Right, exactly. You can go to the Corn Party, multiple locations in Hawaii for operators of corn mazes, and it's more information at themaze.com. That's the M-A-I-Z-E.
Yeah, it's a really great-looking conference. You get to travel to multiple islands in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hang out with your fellow haunters. Really, what more do you want in the world, really?
Sounds like a lot of fun.
But if that does indeed fail you on January 26th or 30th, it is HauntCon in Nashville, Tennessee, the Sheraton Nashville Airport. They'll have tours of the Haunted Hell Nashville, Nashville Nightmare, and Slaughterhouse. You can learn more at HauntCon.com.
Then, going into February, February 18th through 19th, we have the Windy City Haunters.
We should note this is a new one in this
it
one.
It is. It's going to be Oaklawn, Illinois, Midnight Terror Haunted House. Tickets are just $20. Includes free classes, free
mixer, and a free after party.
Yeah.
My apologies. My show notes are crap on that
Yeah,
one.
You put the comma in the wrong
yes,
place.
Yes, I
Sorry
did.
Sorry about that. WindyCityHaunters.com, all spelled out. They also have Facebook that you can check.
Yes, most of the information is on Facebook right now with that one. Their website, unfortunately, has precious little information.
Well, they might be brand new, so
at least
they're new to us.
I will say this, we just learned about this one this week, that's why you haven't heard it in previous episodes, but they popped up on my Facebook on one of the various haunter groups we're members of. Right. So check them out, especially if you're in the Chicago area. After that, March 23rd through the 26th is Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show. It, as usual, I might add, is in St. Louis, Missouri in the America Center. If you are so inclined, you can get an early bird discount between now and pretty much when it starts. It's $50 off the general admission tickets. And new this year, by the way, a quarter of the trade show floor is dedicated to escape rooms. It's called the Escape Room City. Definitely worth checking out. You can learn more at the Ha Show. That's HAASHOW.com.
Okay, and then for more room escapes, it's the Room Escape Conference and Tour, May 1st through the 5th. In Niagara Falls, New York, Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center, tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. Conferences the 1st through the 3rd, and tours are the 4th through the 5th. RoomEscapeShow.com for more information.
And if the repeated mention of the word Canada did not imply with that one, right, get your passports ready.
Be ready to cross the border with this
one. You gotta cross in borders. It's all international and stuff.
Sounds like fun to me.
Sounds like fun to me. I've got my passport in hand, and unfortunately, I'm not going to that one.
Yeah.
And it's a little far north for us. But May 12th through the 14th, it is the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, the DoubleTree Hotel. They'll be touring the Hour to Midnight Room Escape, the Labyrinth Room Escape, and the Escapism Room Escape from the Redundancy Department of Redundancy.
Yes.
You can learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Okay, then June 8th through the 11th, we have Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio at the Greater Columbus Center, touring Scaratorium and others. You can check out more and keep up on what those others are at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
And if you've been following this podcast, you are already familiar with the Scaratorium.
Yes.
And the wonderful, wonderful people there, so definitely check them out. That's an awesome-looking conference there.
Right.
August 4th and 5th. It is Haunt Fair, that's F-A-I-R-E, in Ranconcoma, New York, at the Clarion Hotel. There is a haunted bus tour on Friday, and as we always say, that is a tour that goes visits haunted places, not a haunted bus.
Right.
Though we keep trying to come up with ways to make a haunted bus attraction work and be awesome, that is not what this is. But you can learn more about this at haunt-faire.com.
Okay. And finally, August 25th through the 27th is Halloween and Haunt Fest Show. It's going to be in Dallas-Fort Worth area, Mesquite Convention Center, Escape Room Trip, Jason vs. Tater, and a Walking Dead Zombie. You can learn more about that at HalloweenAndHaunt.com.
And please feel free to correct our understanding of what that attraction is.
Yeah.
Because I've read it like 25 times, and that's what I've got. So, hey, you know what? Jason versus Tater in a Walking Dead Zombie, it definitely has my interest.
Yeah.
Anyways, it is definitely that time of year. Not Halloween, unfortunately.
No.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. But it is the other time of year everyone talks about.
Right.
It is the holiday season. It is Christmas. It is Hanukkah. It is all those wonderful holidays in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a time to reflect.
Yeah.
And we here at Haunt Weekly, we wanted to do something a little bit different.
Right.
We come in here every week and we pontificate endlessly about the haunted attraction industry.
Yeah.
But this was an opportunity to talk about something a little bit unique.
Well, it's not only that, but it seems to be there seems to be a rise recently in more haunted houses participating in holidays outside of Halloween.
Yes.
So if this tradition continues, then maybe we should do some research on other things that we can use to scare people.
And even if not, judging from the haunters groups we follow on Facebook, the haunted forum, haunt owner forums I follow and participate
right.
in, and so on and so forth, everyone is trying to find ways to scarify and hauntify the Christmas season.
Yes.
And we might have a few suggestions
yes.
for
it's
you.
It's already scary for me for other reasons.
Well, that's because it tries to kill you.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Care to explain for the nice people at home?
I mentioned this last week or the week before that I am severely allergic to Christmas trees. But we didn't find this out until like third or fourth grade because my parents
yeah,
just
basically
thought
when you were
I
like
got the
12,
flu.
Right? 12 or 13? Almost a teen.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But basically, they thought I got the flu every year along with everybody else, and turns out, first year we get a fake tree, I'm not sick.
Then you got stitches, though.
I did. I still wound up in the hospital.
Because Christmas apparently is like the spirit of Final Destination.
Yeah.
It's out to get Crystal any way it can.
Yeah, it's continued over the years, but, you know, we don't have time to go into all
that. No, there's too much there.
Yep.
But on that note, Crystal did take the lead in the show notes this week. She did most of the research. And we usually have this thing where I do the show notes, and we agree upon the topic, and we kind of just banter back and forth about it. So this week's a little bit unique. Crystal took the entire lead on this.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this episode, personally. But we wanted to discuss some ways to make Christmas and other holidays scary.
Yay!
And luckily
mainly Christmas right now.
Yeah, mainly Christmas. But luckily for us, there is a lot of great lore to go through here.
Oh, there is, and I've been hearing about it for years, so it was nice to have a reason to really sink my teeth into the topic.
Yes. And, okay, there's a few things to bear in mind before we begin.
Yes.
A lot of these names and phrases and so forth are from other languages and other cultures.
Yeah.
We will mispronounce a lot this episode.
Probably all of them.
All of them. Everything.
Yes. We will butcher them like Krampus butchered kids.
And we will butcher them worse than they butchered anything else ever.
Yeah.
So, yes, please bear that in mind. And also, I found this interesting going through all these various stories and various legends.
Right.
They almost all had to do with trying to keep kids in line.
Right. Well, it's just like now, you know, parents tell their kids before Christmas, you know, you gotta be good. Santa's watching.
Yes.
So, if you don't be good, you're not gonna get a present.
Yes.
That's part of the lore from back when.
It is. And that's the lore I heard. If you're not good, Santa's not bringing a present.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Maybe I don't care if Santa brings me a present. Maybe I'm not fazed by that.
Yeah.
What are you gonna hit me with now? Boom! All of this. At once.
Yeah.
Nightmare City.
Yep.
Yeah, we've definitely got a lot in here to go through. But yes, we will return next week with the news.
Yeah.
As we do pretty much every episode divided by four.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. But in the meantime, kick back and enjoy some Christmas cheer. And by that, I mean Christmas scares.
Yeah.
With me. So right off the bat, we're starting with Krampus.
Yeah.
The cliche.
Yeah.
But the interesting cliche.
Right, because he's really taken off recently and gotten a lot of popularity, and some of his own movies have come out. And
yeah. He's definitely the best known on this particular list.
Right.
He has been already the subject of many, many Hollywood and independent films, most famous being Krampus from last year.
Right.
But I have to say, on a personal note...
yeah.
A very personal note. If you want a Krampus film that is not your typical Hollywood fare...
Really well done.
Good special effects, blah, 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 blah. This is a serious recommendation. This is not a joke. I recommend A Christmas Horror Story, A, because it is an awesome film, and it's one of those anthology horror movies.
Right.
Horror films. It's got four different stories going on.
It's like Trick or Treat for Christmas.
Exactly. Very good, very good analogy there. But one of the best parts about it is your narrator for this anthology, and I shit you not with this, is drunk William Shatner.
Yeah. I think we made it to the 4-minute mark before we had to go into the explicit warning this time. Yeah, so basically it looks like, from watching this, that at the beginning of the film, somebody gave a bottle of booze to William Shatner, and he's finished it by the end of it.
Yeah, it starts out William Shatner's being William Shatner. He's a radio DJ in this.
Right.
And William Shatner in the very beginning is William Shatner. He's Shatner-esque in his tone and his mannerisms and everything. But he's not anything unusual. And then by the time you get to the end, he is totally hammered. And it is the best thing you have ever seen in your life.
Yeah, and I believe that there are outtakes at the end.
Yes, there are, actually, in the credits.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, yes.
Yeah, definitely stick around for those, because some of his best lines are in that.
We have to watch that again now.
We will be doing our Krampus
Christmas marathon later, I know.
you know, rare exports and all of that, I'm sure, in the next week.
Yes. But anyways, the origins of Krampus, going back to when he actually started, are not particularly clear, oddly enough.
Well, a lot of these started out that way. A lot of them predate Christianity.
Yeah.
So it's not clear, and he's in a lot of different cultures, too, and cross continents.
Yes.
Which also makes him unusual.
And one of the things to note about Krampus is, as he goes from culture to culture and continent to continent,
right,
he changes.
Yeah. Yeah, he can be, you know, a mix of a goat, man, demon. He's always got the giant horns, it seems. Sometimes he's pictured with sleigh bells, sometimes with chains.
Yeah.
And it's, the chains are different. They have different meanings behind them. One possible thing was the chaining of the demon by Christians. And another was that he used the chains to scare people, to let them know that they were
coming. By the Ghost of Christmas Future,
exactly,
or something like that.
Exactly. And yet another was that he used the chain to actually, you know, chain up kids. So
he was just bringing the chain with him.
As he
went to wreck the kids.
You can choose whichever one you want. Yeah.
That is one of the interesting things about Krampus, is that when you look at the cultures he's in at least a dozen.
Yeah.
Every single one brings them about differently, and it seems to be relevant to that particular culture.
Right.
Now, here are the few things that are consistent about Krampus.
Yeah.
He is a mix of goat, man, and demon, as you said.
Right.
And he always has his giant horns. Now, I have seen some interpretations where he's mostly goat.
Right.
Some where he's way more demon. And some where he's actually more human-like.
Yeah.
But those three things always seem to appear.
Mm-hmm.
He is always a foil to Santa Claus or Sinterklaas or whatever
right.
the local version is.
Right.
He is the antithesis, if you
yes.
will.
He comes to punish the bad kids.
Yeah, and that's just it. Where Santa rewards the good, Krampus punishes the bad.
And he's got some creative punishments
yeah,
in store.
And once again, and this is when this thing is cultural.
Right.
Different cultures have different punishments he administers. And one of the common punishments is that he throws children in a sack.
Yep. Instead of a sack of presents, he's got a sack of kids.
Children.
Yep.
Hee-ho, there you go, Bobby.
Yep.
Into the sack you go. And that sack could be for the purpose of A, drowning them.
Yep.
B, taking the kids straight to hell.
Yeah.
Or C, selling them into some kind of slavery that is unclear in the lore.
Right, yeah. So
Krampus is a little messed up, man.
He is. He's also been known to lash kids into behaving, or he just eats them outright, you know? Just get rid of them that way.
Damn right.
But because of some of these ways of punishing kids and being so extreme, he's become a controversial figure.
Oh, you don't say. Really?
Yes.
Put it on my shocked face.
Yeah, in fact, there are protests in Austria against the big Krampus Fest where older kids are, you know, older teens and young men mm-hmm. dress up as him and go through the streets and try to terrorize kids on the street.
Can I just say, I have a life goal now that I did not have before the start of this podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I have to say, when you typed up these notes for me,
right.
I first read that it was Australia.
Yeah.
And I'm really wondering what Australia hated about Krampus, but then I reread it and I was disappointed.
Yeah, sorry.
I was very disappointed in Austria, at least. I mean, not necessarily you.
God.
But no, he's definitely gaining popularity. It's
right.
very interesting because there seems to be this backlash against Santa in some ways.
Right.
The idea of, you know, we have to give gifts and always reward the children. Some people, you know, want that idea of hardcore punishing the little brats.
Yeah.
And if so, Krampus is your fetish, man.
Well, not only that, but if you look back at child psychology books from like the 16 to 1800s, somewhere in there, they had some really weird stories. You know, Brothers Grimm was basically stories to keep kids in line.
Yes.
And
that is true.
And in fact, we know a band who's covered this topic.
Yeah, the Tiger Lilies.
Yes. Where they have a whole album of songs about the stories they used to tell kids to keep them in line. We'll have to cover that in another episode.
Yeah, we will, actually. I think that's a really great idea for another episode.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because in 2016/2017, I've got to add that now because we're so close.
Right, we are.
We had these endless debates about should we talk to kids about Santa? Should we just not tell them Santa this is real? Should we, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, back in the old days, we used to tell them a goat-headed demon would take them to hell.
Yeah, we probably need to put a warning on this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no kids.
Yeah, don't let your kids listen to this if they're young. Sorry.
Sorry, parents.
Okay, so the next person...
The Holiday Demons title probably should have been a clue.
Yeah, yeah. So the next figure that we're going to talk about...
Oh, God.
We ran into personally.
Yeah, we'll get to that story in a minute, though. We'll save that for the end of this.
I figured it'd be a great intro.
We've got to give something for them to hang on to and get through the description here.
So, Zwart Pete.
Sometimes referred to as the Black Pete.
Yes. He is said to come with Santa Claus from Spain.
He is a very, very controversial figure, to say the very least.
Yeah.
And he comes with extremely racist undertones.
Yes.
To put it very generously. I'm trying to be gentle here.
Yeah.
As gentle as I can.
Yeah.
Basically, if we follow the original lore, he does come with Santa Claus from Spain, and that would make him a Moor.
Yeah. There is at least a lot of speculation that he is a Moor.
Sounds reasonable with the local culture and the local history there, though.
Right.
But then again, they do say he's just a chimney sweep, and the black skin is totally soot and not, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Yeah, they do say that. There are some older tales that say that he's basically Santa's forced helper, which would much make him a slave.
God, the air quotes are heavy with this episode, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, man. Yeah, they like to downplay that part, don't they, now?
Yeah. Well, it's because he's gotten into a lot of trouble, and I think we should go on to our story real quick.
All right, okay.
Because you were invited to speak at a conference in the Netherlands a few years ago.
And this was in late November when this happened. And the lovely folks, it was at a journalism conference in the Netherlands.
Right.
For the entirety of the EU, it was being held in the Netherlands.
Right.
And the story goes like this. I forgot my belt.
Yep. About to be a big conference, international conference.
And I forgot my belt. Basically, this was right after the TSA started that whole, you have to take your belt off and go through the thing.
Yeah.
And I just decided that wasn't worth it, so I was going to pack my belt.
Right.
And then I didn't.
Yeah.
So, basically, we had to get a belt.
Yeah, so we're out early in the morning going towards the shopping district.
I have to say, the lovely concierge of the hotel was most helpful.
Yes. Going towards the shopping district, and something catches my eye in the window.
Of a little shop. This was in Maastricht.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah. There is, in the window, something that looks like a little minstrel doll.
Yes. That is the most polite way to describe it, actually, and she's not exaggerating at all.
No. I'm sure there will be a picture or two in the show notes. So I'm like,
racial insensitivity much?
Right.
And you and I, we kind of, as Americans viewing this from our culture, we kind of went, wow, we have to get a picture of that. That's amazing.
Right.
And we snap a photo of it with our phone and we move on, because we didn't have cell access. We moved on our way. And we went basically to the Dutch equivalent of like Belk's or another department store.
It was a big shopping center.
It was a big department store. Yeah. And in there, they had these giant Pez dispenser type things.
Yeah.
With top, where the head was, like you said, looked like a giant minstrel doll.
Right. It was Zwart Pete.
It was Zwart Pete. And then we started wandering our way back, because conferences start at like 10 a.m. local time.
Right.
It was a late starting conference. And so we're wandering our way back. And then we see kids in blackface.
Yeah, and there are banners. And then, kids in blackface. I mean, the exaggerated red lips, everything. And at this point, we're complete culture shock.
Yeah.
You know?
I have been pretty much all over the world.
Yeah.
I have never been this culture shocked before.
No.
As an American with my sensitivities to racial issues, this was like blowing my mind in not very good ways.
Because we were like, how is this acceptable?
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
So we get to the conference with belt in tow, by the way. We did find the belt. Want to bring a conclusion to that drama in case you were like really into that part of the story.
Yeah.
We did find one at a reasonable price. By the way, I learned my waist size in centimeters.
Yeah.
Because we were in the EU at the time. Very interesting part of the story, but not really. But we got to the conference. I did my speech. It was great. Everyone loved me.
Right. Had Wi-Fi.
And we ended up... one of the people at the conference was a German girl and her boyfriend.
Right.
And we ended up kind of going on like a double date type thing with them.
Yeah.
To the dining district. And we sat down with them, but this was at night. And we're like, okay, I've got a question.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with all the blackface in this area?
Yeah.
And they bust out laughing.
Yeah.
Like guffaw, villain laughing at us, the folly of us Americans.
Yeah.
And they explained to us about the Zwarte Piet.
Right.
And I'm still not getting it.
No. Yeah. So yeah, it they've tried to make him more culturally appropriate in the recent years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Previously, he was Santa's slave, let's just not even mince words here, functionally his slave, that would punish the wicked kids.
Right.
He brought the coal, and in some instances, he would drag them back into slavery.
Right, back to Spain.
But at some point, and like in recent decades, they realized that might be the teensiest bit racist.
Yeah.
And so they tried to turn him into, I don't know how else to say it, but Santa's friendly helper.
Yeah, pretty much. And, so, but they've
that's
also...
That's better?
Yeah. Well, and they've also started, you know, they've just ditched the whole idea that he's a chimney sweep. Because now you can come in any color face you want. And there are blue and yellow and green and, you know.
Yeah. It's a very, very bizarre tradition.
Yeah.
It seems to be very prominent among Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And... maybe not the scariest outside of, you know, SJW social norm type thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty frightening in that context. But yeah, it's a very, very bizarre tradition. And definitely take some time to look up Zwarte. And for the record, that's Zwarte Piet.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure if you just look up the Black Piet, you'll
be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's amazing.
It seems to have really held on in like Belgium and the Netherlands and that part of Europe as well as Spain. As someone that went there, and like I said, that time of year, it was an extreme culture shock.
Right. All right,
so let's try a different Christmas monster, as in the Christmas monster.
Yes.
Gryla.
Gryla or Gryla?
Gryla. We'll go with Gryla. I like Gryla better.
I like Gryla.
We'll go with Gryla.
All right. So this is a family woman. She is a mountain giant.
Yes.
And...
hey, we have a female monster now. That's unique enough.
It is. And she's got a whole family that has characters who play a part in Christmas in the Icelandic tradition.
Yeah, this is Icelandic. And I have to say, this reminds me a little bit of the... sort of the Greek legends and the Greek gods and all that.
Yeah.
We have an entire family, and Gryla pretty much sits atop it.
Right.
She is maybe not the Zeus, but what would be like Zeus's terrifying twin?
I don't know.
Basically, think of it in that context.
Yeah. But anyway, so she is the mother to the Yule boys, which are known as... they actually look like little miniature Santas that run around and cause trouble. It's kind of funny. She's been married 3 times, and she has a pet called the Yule Cat, which I mentioned on last episode.
Yeah, the Yule Cat is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. So it's... basically, if you don't work hard enough for your kids to have new clothes to offer to the cat will eat them. and, it'll just gobble them up.
And to be fair, and to add to this, it's not just they don't just like abstractly describe the concept of the Yule cat eating them.
No.
They have a very specific way the cat will eat them, as in gut them and disembowel them and eat the intestines and then gobble them up.
Yeah.
It's a very morbid way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, the idea is that she would watch kids year-round.
Right.
And then, before Christmas, she would, like, preempt the Santa Clauses.
Yeah.
She would come in and eat the bad ones.
Yeah.
And apparently, her favorite dish...
Yes.
...was kids' stew.
Yep.
Naughty kids' stew.
Yes. Yeah. And I do think that a restaurant or snack or something should have that as a Christmas treat.
If your haunt is open during the Christmas season and you're not serving naughty kids stew, you have missed an opportunity.
Exactly. And she also predates, you know, Christianity and Christmas, like most of these.
That's one of the interesting things, is because a lot of our Christmas traditions come from, you know, before Christianity.
Right.
They come from, you know, pagan and other beliefs. A lot of these Christmas demons predated as well.
Yeah.
Which is, frankly, awesome.
Yeah.
How they've managed to pair these up with Santa Claus and similar, I guess you'd say, Christmas spirits.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a word for that.
Yeah.
So, up next we have Frau Perkta?
Yeah, that's how I say it.
Frau Perkta. Seriously, if we are mispronouncing this, please let us know.
Which I'm sure we are.
I'm sure we are, too. Let us know if you know better than us.
Yeah, in the phonetic pronunciations where I got all this information did not help. Mm-hmm. Or else I would have told you.
It basically looked like alien language all that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I checked too, trust me.
All right, so Frau Perkta is also Austrian in origins.
Mm-hmm.
She travels from Christmas to Epiphany and knows when she enters a home, if children and servants, and this is servants of any age.
Yes.
So if your servants have been bad, she will come after them too, which is a difference for her because not many of these deal with adults.
Nope.
So basically, they have to have worked really hard during the year or else she's going to know and she's going to come in and punish them. So, and what a punishment.
Yes. I want to say this. If you're a boss or a manager at a workplace.
Right.
You might want to be listening very carefully here.
Yeah, she was extremely interested in how much wool was spun by young girls because she is the goddess of weaving.
Yes.
So she wanted to make sure she got all her wool.
But what would happen if I did not spin enough wool or did not weave enough wool? What would be my punishment, Crystal?
Well, she would comment.
And she's getting way too much joy out of this, I just wanted to say.
She would disembowel you, and then she would stuff you full of straw, pebbles, and other dirt and trash, basically making you into a scarecrow.
Yay! Wait a minute. And one thing I found interesting is that this one is one of those cases where the lore has really changed.
Right.
Because she has both appeared as a very young maiden type
right.
thing, or as a very old lady.
Yeah,
thing.
And that's actually part of the original legend.
Yeah.
She would appear as either.
She could appear as whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find this one fascinating because, like you said, it didn't deal just with children. Most of these are targeted almost exclusively at kids.
Yeah.
If you're not good, blah, blah, blah is going to come and do blah, blah, blah to you. Most of these stories you can sort of pare down to that game of Mad Libs.
Yeah.
This one you cannot because, like you said, it dealt with adult servants the same as it did with child servants and children in general.
Right.
So, very fascinating idea. And it's also interesting that it seemed to deal exclusively with Austria. This one doesn't seem to have left the country much.
Not a whole lot.
And I just want to say this. Austria, you're complaining about Krampus? What the hell, man?
Maybe they don't have her around anymore. Maybe we need to bring back Frau Perkta to go along with Krampus.
Yeah, you guys need some Frau in your life, man. If you're bitching about Krampus right now, you need some Frau in your life, man. You've screwed this up.
Yeah.
You guys are the messed up ones, really, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us up to Hans Trapp.
Yes. Yes, which the Von Trapp family was known in The Sound of Music.
Oh, really? It is?
Yes.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I did not know this one.
Yeah.
I know it was the Von Trapps, but I didn't know they were related.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Basically, they're interchangeable, I believe.
All right.
So Hans Trapp was a real person who became a legend after death.
Now, I gotta say this. Life goals.
Yeah.
Life goals for me right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, please. Very, very wealthy. Lived in a huge castle, which now has a restaurant in it that's open to the public. So if you're curious, you know, you can go and do that. He basically fought against the church his entire life. He was eventually excommunicated by an abbot who most of his spouts were with.
Yeah, he was fighting with a local abbot, apparently.
Right.
And that abbot got promoted?
Yes.
Is that the word I'm looking for? The Pope.
Chosen?
I'm not Catholic.
No.
The Pope. He was ascended to Pope. And when he became Pope, he was like, smite!
Yeah. Yeah, and basically excommunicated him and, you know. So, that didn't go over well.
No, I bet it didn't. Because basically, after that, a legend began to form around him.
Yeah.
Where he would go with St. Nicholas. How the hell did this legend start?
Who the heck knows? I don't know.
This is, like, really weird. Because
you know, it sounded to me, whenever I read it, like the kid saying, oh, don't go to that old man's house. He'll capture you and keep you in the basement or whatever.
Well, this was, like, really weird to me with this one. And I read up on it, and I did some other research on my own.
Yeah.
And so I found as much as you did, I think. And the basic concept is, this guy followed with the church didn't like, and they went blah, 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 back and forth.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like Martin Luther. They just like squabbled back and forth in general.
Yeah.
And then when the guy became Pope, he excommunicated him. And then somehow after he died, this legend started that he would go around with St. Nicholas and punish bad kids.
Yep.
Because that's totally what you do to people you don't like. You immortalize them in legend.
Right.
And he would punish the bad kids by beating and, in some of the cases, eating them.
Right. Exactly. Better watch it or Hans Trapp is going to come eat you. Yeah.
You know what? That sounds a lot less threatening when you put it like that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe workshop the name on this one a little, guys.
A little bit. He was also known to deflower young women. Both in life and in legend. So.
But I have to say, on a personal note.
Yeah.
This is like a moment of realization where if you are, I don't know what the word is, but if you are antagonistic enough, if you are angry enough, if you are out there enough, you too can become an anti-Christian, anti-Christmas legend. I'm just saying, the door's open now. It happened to Hans Trapp. It can happen to you.
I think it might be a little bit harder now, but you'd have to work really hard.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it's apparently possible for a mortal being to become...
Are we going to have to start legends about Bernie going around at Christmas now?
Do not tempt me. I will totally do that. I will totally lie my butt off to make that happen.
Leaving, you know, flaming pumpkins or something on children's doors.
don't tempt me. No, I found it very interesting that the idea that a mere mortal could be ascended to, you know, anti-Christmas legend.
Yeah.
Just by mere, you know, battles with the church. That is awesome.
And you said I was having too much fun with this.
Hot goals!
Oh,
well, anyways, moving on.
All right, and this one I have no clue how to say.
Go for it. Pere Fautard?
Sure. That seems good enough.
Anyway, Pere Fautard was famous in northeast France and Belgium.
Yes. And he was a butcher in life. And his wife started to crave children.
Now, I really have some questions here.
Yeah. Maybe he misunderstood. She said, I wanted kids. And he's like, I'm a butcher. I'll go get you some.
And she only had goats.
Or like to have kids.
Oh.
You know, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, wow. I'm a messed up one now.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. I thought she wanted goats.
Yeah. But basically, he lured three young boys into his butcher shop. In some of the legends, he drugged them, slit their throats, and chopped them up into stew for them to eat.
Yes.
However, St. Nicholas showed up, saw what he had done, and resurrected the boys. How he did this from being chopped up and eaten, I don't know.
You know, this is like the Star Trek holodeck questions.
No.
Like what happens when I eat like a pear on the holodeck?
Right.
When I like leave the holodeck? Does like the pear like remove from me?
Right.
How does this work? It's a very similar type of questioning.
Yeah, it is.
But yes, now he like totally hangs with Saint Nick.
Well, okay, so this is the part that's a little bit fuzzy and has several different variations. One is that he repented for his ways.
Okay.
He completely repented and decided to go with Saint Nick to, you know, help constructively with kids.
Okay, can I just say here that a guy that drugs and slits kids' throats and chops them up
and
eats them is not the best candidate for repenting his ways?
Okay, so that's true, but he just witnessed a miracle with them being resurrected and put back whole.
Can I just say this was a guy that drugged and slit the throat up and chopped it? He might be imagining a lot of crap at this point.
Yeah, the kids were a little sour is what you're saying.
Oh, God.
So,
I did not take it that dark place.
I know. The other legend around him is that he was forced to go with Saint Nick as his punishment, and that he could only scare the kids. Very few legends actually has him whipping them. He could just threaten them, but not actually touch them because he had already killed kids.
I hereby name Perifotar the god of haunting.
Yeah.
Of no-touch haunts, and
yeah.
All hail Perifotar.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre because, like you said, the story of this guy basically is that he did this horrible, horrible, horrible crime.
Yep.
And then somehow gets to chill with Santa afterward.
Yeah. Well, either chill with or be punished by.
You know what? I don't know if that's really punishment, getting to scare kids for all eternity.
Well, if it is your thing to actually, you know, do harm to them, then it would be punishment to not be able to do that.
I suppose you might have a point on that one.
But still, it
is an awfully weird legend, you have to admit.
All of these are a little bit weird.
Well, we're talking about Christmas demons. What's the normal one here?
Yeah.
Krampus.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should look into the St. Nicholas some too.
Yeah.
And not completely clean pass there either.
Yeah, especially when you get into some other cultures in the U.S. Because we don't, in the U.S., we don't particularly deal with the how he became Santa Claus thing.
Yeah.
Other than that claymation thing where he was just a really good guy who became Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Which is not how it happened in the other culture.
Right.
But anyways, let's talk about another one. What do you say? We got one more to go through at least.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how to pronounce this one. The Calicansaros? Calicansaros?
Yes.
This is one we definitely mispronounced, by the way.
Yeah.
And they are Bulgarian.
Yep.
But they are also found in Greece and Serbia. And basically, they're malevolent goblins is the only descriptor I could find. And
I know.
The one you found, too.
Right.
So, yeah. Teach me about these guys.
Well, they dwell underground, but they come up to the surface during the 12 Nights of Christmas. For some reason, the 12 Nights of Christmas from, you know, basically
the 25th through January 6th.
January 6th. Is kind of a all-encompassing thing where all sorts of things come out. Because you've also got, in Sweden, you've got werewolves and vampires and all of these things.
No,
and in other cultures where they come out during this time.
I would like to note that any child born between Christmas and the Epiphany is supposed to be a vampire or werewolf or something, right?
Right.
And can I also note that one half of this podcast was born during that time. And I would like to say it is not the Jonathan half.
Yes. And the one that was is also allergic to Christmas. If you want to take that a step further.
It might be true.
Yeah. So anyway, they come to the surface for the fortnight when the sun is supposed to cease seasonal movement. Okay. And they cause all kinds of havoc and trouble.
Yeah, the description of them is pretty interesting because depending upon the culture and the location and the time, they vary both in composition and size.
Right.
They can be made of a variety of different animal parts.
Yeah.
Which just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it sounds like there was an evil scientist somewhere sticking things together.
Yeah. And the result of that is they also have various sizes. They come from everything from absolutely humongous giants to tiny little imps. It's very bizarre. But yes, it's thought that any child born during the 12 days of Christmas would become one unless after their birth they underwent this very elaborate ritual involving garlic and voodoo type stuff and... You know, I don't get it. It was a very lengthy, complicated ritual where you had to do all this stuff to the kid.
Yep.
And the kid's like, dude, I was just born. What is all this? This is like, I'm still getting used to this earth. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's cold and it's wet and you're draping garlic around my neck. This is really messed up.
Yeah.
But the idea is pretty fascinating. It's actually been involved in modern culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch it, Grimm, and you do watch Grimm, I do not.
Yes.
Do you remember the episode The Grimm Who Stole Christmas?
Yes.
They were the feature of that.
Oh, they were the little imps and things going around there. Cool.
Yes.
I did not realize that when researching this. We'll have to go back and watch
that. I learned something during my follow-up research that you did not learn in your primary research.
Yes.
You see how this relationship works.
Yes.
But I did like that, and it's pretty cool that they have managed to find a way to reappear in modern culture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, these are just some of the ideas, and honestly, we found a bunch others, including, like, Christmas werewolves and Christmas vampires.
Right.
And I'm not actually kidding with either of those. They both exist.
No, okay, so I found them, but I couldn't find their origins or any real things about them, other than they just come out during those 12 nights.
Yeah, it seems like, you know... The idea of Santa Claus is, or Sinterklaas or whatever this thing is, pretty universal.
Yeah.
Cultures from all over the world seem to have something similar where someone good comes and gives children presents.
Or at least doesn't punish them.
Or, you know, does something nice to children this time of year.
Yeah.
And it seems like those same cultures have all had the antithesis
that
has come for the bad children.
Right. And some of those antitheses did have pagan origins.
Mm-hmm.
That were adopted into not so nice things.
Yes.
But a lot of them, they were just there.
Yeah.
Some of them were just made up. I'm surprised, you know, looking at it, the U.S. doesn't have an antithesis.
Yeah. That was my next question, is what do we have in the U.S.?
I think the closest thing we've got is Scrooge.
Scrooge, really? Interesting.
Because he's a mean old man. And holds the balance of a family in his hands, you know.
And it's not just necessarily Scrooge, but sort of the idea of Scrooge.
Right.
Because, like, for example, go back to the Animaniacs Christmas episode.
Yeah.
With Mr. Plotz, and they did that whole thing with him. The idea of Scrooge goes beyond just the Dickens tale.
Right.
I almost said the Dickensian tale, completely ignoring the fact that it was actually a Dickens tale.
Yes.
It's not just Dickensian, it's actually Dickens.
Yes. Yes. What,
yes.
The Dickens?
But no, yeah, it definitely does go beyond that. So maybe that's a good point. I don't know. But I am glad to see Krampus making up some ground in the U.S. I'm really happy about that. So definitely check out A Christmas Horror Story. It has my favorite Krampus. And by the way, we are experts on Krampus movies.
Yeah.
You can argue whether or not we're experts on haunting all you want. We are experts on Krampus movies.
We watched maybe six last year.
Oh my God.
Okay, maybe that was the first night.
We did a two-night marathon of Krampus films last year. And we're probably going to repeat much of it this year, knowing us.
Yeah, probably.
And A Christmas Horror Story literally came out on top in terms of the most memorable, awesome ones. And like I said, it wasn't just drunk William Shatner. It was the whole battle between Santa. That's kind of the part of it. It was, there was this awesome, like, fist fight between Krampus and Santa.
And it starts out with a haunted legend.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering the correct movie, we did watch so many.
That's understandable.
So,
yes, it's an anthology. It does start out with other haunted legends, and it sort of builds up to it.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good movie. Check it out. It's one that not a lot of people have seen. It's one that isn't on a lot of people's radar.
Right.
And yes, drunk William Shatner. Do I need to say more to you?
No.
Not really. Well, honestly, that's about all the time we have this week.
Yep.
I think we just about covered it. And there are definitely other Christmas demons and Christmas Scrooges out there. But yeah, you're right. America, we are not up to speed on this.
Yeah. If we missed your favorite, let us know.
Yes.
Where can they do that?
At Haunt Weekly on Facebook or Haunt Weekly on Twitter. We are Haunt Weekly at all the places. Feel free to follow us, stalk us, love us, like us, hate us. The restraining order is in the mail. But anyways, that's all I have for this week. I really did enjoy this little diversion, if you will.
Yeah, we might do some more episodes in the future.
Yeah, we definitely
let us know if you
more
liked
haunt
it.
Legends and other things you might be able to include in your haunt. But on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 55, talking about Christmas demons. We will be back next week to do the news, so stay tuned. We will see you guys next time.